I wonder how many of you remember life without the internet. Maybe many of you, most of you, were not even alive back then. It's hard to imagine life without it. You know, anytime you want to go to a restaurant, you can look at Yelp, you can get a review, you can look up anything you want on search engines. It's a powerful tool. And it wasn't around before the late 80s. And the internet really connected billions of people together, making humanity one big macro organism possessing unlimited knowledge. So it's pretty clear the benefits of technology. I'm a psychiatrist, and I can tell you technology has completely transformed the way that I deliver care. I'm a telepsychiatrist, so I see most of my patients on video. Telepsychiatry is a subset of telemedicine, which involves pretty much any kind of specialty of medicine that's delivered remotely. You know, people don't really want to wait in a doctor's office. They'd rather be seen on camera at a time that's convenient for them in a location that's convenient. Nobody wants to fight traffic just to go sit in a waiting room around other sick people waiting for the doctor to see them. So telemedicine is something that is growing in popularity. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's going to keep growing just like other forms of technology. And all of this technology is wonderful. In fact, I consider myself a telehealth and technology evangelist. I like to get the word out about how useful some of these technology tools can be to deliver healthcare. For example, the electronic health record that gives us information that we need to treat the patient all in one place without any paper. Now, with all of this technology available at our fingertips, we can do things that were unimaginable even 20 years ago. Technology allows me to deliver healthcare essentially anywhere in the world with a click of the button. But with all this technology, there can be a dark side. Now, how many of you have noticed that when you go to a restaurant, there are at least a couple of tables where people are just buried in their smartphones? They're not conversing with each other. They're not interacting with each other, just with their phones. And that human connection is absent. If you look at social media, you have the ability to connect with millions of people, people that you don't know, people that you haven't talked to since elementary school. But how deep is that connection? As we all know, it's not very deep. It's pretty superficial. So as a result, people actually feel more isolated these days because they are insulating themselves with a layer of technology. And they don't get out there as much to talk to people, to interact with people. And what does that mean for our mental health? Does that mean that we're more isolated, that we have more depression and anxiety, that we bottle up and we can't share with people? Maybe. We'll be exploring some of that in this podcast. I actually have some deeper concerns about technology. So the great Elon Musk, who is actually an idol of mine, he founded a company called Neuralink. And apparently one of the goals of this company is to bridge the gap between computers and the brain, perhaps with an implantable device in the brain. What a concept. Now, when we look at our phones, you know, they are not actually physically inside of us. They're attached to us because we carry them around all the time. But there is a separation between the computer and our brains. Now, if you implant a device, then what kind of ramifications are there? You know, if you can hack a car, a self-driving car, and all indications are that that's possible. Hasn't happened yet, as far as we know. But we do worry that a self-driving car will be hacked, and you can have an army of cars, a fleet, at your disposal. What if you can have an entire population of brains that are controlled by an artificial device that's implanted in people's brains? Now, of course, we don't have that technology yet, but the computer-brain interface, we're getting closer to closing that gap. For example, there are electrodes that can be placed on somebody's head so that they can control artificial limbs. That's already in existence. That's already happening. Did you just hear that? So that was my phone beeping because I got a message. So the phone is actually screaming for attention. And I am going to make every effort not to be subservient to this device. But eventually, I don't know. I mean, are we here for the computer, or is the computer here for us? And right now the computer is here for us, but at some point, if we are a slave to the computer, for example, if we're checking our phones 200 times a day, if we have 5 hours of screen time, how many of you have that much screen time every day? Probably most of you listening. And is that healthy? Is that healthy for our mental health? Is that healthy from a sociological perspective? You know, the human brain was designed to interact with other human beings. We were not built to interact with machines quite the way we do today. Machines, on the other hand, were built specifically to engage us on a very significant level. So what we need to do is be prepared for what's about to come. Artificial intelligence is gaining momentum. At a certain point, the machines are going to release themselves from the control of human beings. And that's inevitable. And what happens after that, at this point, is unknown. And I think it's our responsibility to figure out how that's going to affect us. And as a psychiatrist, I really would like to know, like to think about, at least plan for, how that's going to affect mental health. We already have lots of people who are addicted to technology. We have a whole generation of kids that are playing Fortnite until the wee hours of the morning. People hooked to their screens, their phones, their computers. Now, what does that mean for conditions like depression and anxiety? What does that mean for people with psychotic disorders? Maybe a lot of those people don't, in fact, have access to computers. Does that make it better for them, worse for them? I think a lot of people would say that they're disenfranchised because they don't have access to the amount of information that we do because of our access to the internet. Now, I don't think that there's a whole lot of discussion about these kind of issues because people are so excited about the technology. But I'm pleased that you're joining me in this podcast so we can start exploring some of the dark corners of the internet. Together, maybe we can figure out how to guide these technology forces before we completely lose control over them. And if we can't control it, at least we need to direct it in a way where human beings are being served by the technology instead of the other way around. We also need to be aware that these technologies can be manipulated by other human beings to do awful things to humanity. But primarily, this podcast is about the mental health ramifications of technology. And I'm going to share with you some of my thoughts going through life with technology, and I'd like to invite some guests to join me. Some people that I know in the technology space, people in the mental health field, and get their thoughts and opinions on what we have in store for us coming in the future. And hopefully with a more thoughtful vision of what is going to happen to technology and how that's going to affect us, we will be able to put ourselves in a position where the technology benefits our mental health as opposed to harming our mental health. So please join me in this journey, and hopefully together we can figure out how the future is going to play out with mental health and technology. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us in iTunes and place a good review. So until next time, stay human. This is Dr. Edward Kafterian, and this is Brain on a Wire.